Please proceed and please talk into the microphone. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Schultz.
Good morning.
Is this all right? Picking up. Earlier you were you testified that you're familiar with the meetings that Cortez signed with the government, correct?
Yes.
And that is it your recollection that the first year rent would be about approximately $4.49 million?
Yes.
And do you recall how this number was arrived at?
The number is arrived from an appraisal report that was submitted as part of the proposal. And that was $1.90 a square foot for the total square foot of enclosed space.
And so do you recall approximately how many square feet the the existing campus is right now?
The existing campus, no.
All right.
I'm not sure.
All right. So if we took the lease rent portion of it, which is $3.48 million, divided by $1.90, we should get the square footage?
Right.
Is that how it's computed?
Yes.
And who performed the appraisal?
Micronesian Appraisals.
I see. Now, did you see the appraisal?
Yes, I did.
And you recall the appraisal was based on its condition as it is today? The remodeled construction?
I believe that the appraisal was for a school at that area, a fully operational school.
And not the existing building when it was initially acquired by Cortex.
Right.
And it's dilapidated.
Right.
I see. So it's for a reconstructed,
yes,
you know, fully remodeled. So it's $1.90 per year, per square foot. Do you recall how much it cost Cortex to remodel that building?
I don't recall.
Okay, was it under or over $3.4 million?
I'm not sure, only because there was already going to be some construction work done there for the other purpose we had acquired the buildings for, which was for workforce housing.
Right, but they didn't have to build it from scratch because there was an existing building.
Right.
There was structure, there were electrical conduits, correct?
Well, that had to be overhauled. There were
I understand.
Yes.
But you didn't have to build it from scratch.
Right.
And so the remodeling of this building would be significantly less than if you were to have to even construct it, correct?
I would guess yes. I'm not sure, though.
Who knows how much it costs?
The people at our office are president and our GM.
And you're referring to?
Mr. Holigan.
And, okay. Do you know if Cortex recovered all of its out-of-pocket costs for remodeling on the first year of rent?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Okay. What I'm trying to understand is why Cortex would enter into a one-year lease, at least that can be terminated by the government in 1 year, and possibly expose itself to losses from advances to reconstruct the building. So, what I'm trying to understand is why would a Cortex enter into a lease that could be terminated in 1 year and spend more than $3.4 million, the lease rent, to remodel it?
I just say what the principal of our company at that time when they changed the lease term, it was a consideration not to just to step away from that project and not go into the lease agreement with the government of Guam because the terms were different. But, he told me that he didn't see how we could step away when we had a facility that at least the kids could be there for a year.
Okay, but you're just telling me you don't know why.
Well, that was our discussion at the time.
And it doesn't make sense to spend more than you'll recover for 1 year if you're going to get the possibility of termination.
I think that my boss was committed to the project, so he wanted to see his commitment through.
So Mr. Ho would be in a better position.
Absolutely.
To answer the question.
Yes.
Okay. going back to a comment or a your testimony about the cookie cutter blueprint, I'm just referring to the RFP for the JFK. I think you're familiar with that, correct? I'm referring to Exhibit B of the specification. And they basically set out in bullet points, just generally attachment B to the RFP, the technical specification. And I'm just going to go through
Is this for JFK or for the interim?
I'm sorry, it's for JFK, the proposed new JFK reconstruction.
Yeah, when you say exhibit, what document are you referring to?
Oh, no, it's not we didn't submit an exhibit. He brought it up. I just happened to have it on.
Okay.
So it's the RFP that was put out. And this,
Can we stop for a second?
It was filed with the notice of appeal. Excuse me. And it was the agency report. It was attached to the agency report.
Okay. Are you talking about which exhibit in the agency report?
It appears to be exhibit A, B. It looks like exhibit B, I think. Yes, B2.
Okay, so exhibit B2.
And there's base numbers on the bottom.
So what's a base number?
The page I'm on is 4073.
Project description and location?
It says construction of John F. Kennedy High School, finance and admission, technical specifications at the very top.
Attachment B?
That's correct.
Okay,
please proceed.
Okay.
Right, Mr. Cullough, do you understand which exhibit?
Yes.
Okay, please proceed. Mr. Abrams?
Yes, I'm
clear. Okay, please proceed.
Thank you. You recall that there were general specifications given for the design and the plans, designed the new JFK school, correct? And when you say cookie cutter, I just wanted to make sure I understand what you mean exactly by that. And you're comparing it to the new design versus the existing campus, interim campus, which we'll call this, the teasing campus, right?
Yes.
All right. Do you recall there are four ROTC rooms in the interim campus?
Yes.
Are there, and this is in addition to all the standard classrooms?
Yes.
Okay, and are there four business classrooms?
Yes.
Where are they located?
They're located in Building J.
How many students can accommodate?
I believe that I'm not sure. Whatever. I can recall because the business classroom, I think, have additional specifications than general ed classrooms.
Right. It requires four business classrooms, a 28-student computer set up for 28 mm-hmm. students, sitting students, one teacher station, and locker spaces 30 by 10. Now, are you aware that, and you may not be, but I will represent to you that several of the DOE witnesses testify that the rooms just didn't have any spaces for lockers or to accommodate the minimum number of students required in those classrooms?
No rooms have lockers, but all 13 floors of the buildings have locker spaces. So the lockers are not in the classrooms, but they were designed to be in the hallway of 13 various buildings. 13 various floors in various buildings.
Is there a dance room?
Yes.
In the gymnasium?
Yes.
And how big is it? Do you recall?
I don't recall. But there's a dance floor with a hardwood floor and mirrors.
Are you aware that it's been converted to a classroom?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. And is there a library that is, I'm sorry, I should just tell you which page I'm on.
Please.
Page 78, big stamp number, 78. Is there a library that's 8,600 square feet?
No.
Now, I'm on page 79. There are a list of administrative offices. Within those administrative offices, there are offices for reception waiting area in a main office.
Yes.
All right. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Is there a principal office, 300 square feet?
It's larger than 300 square feet, yes. There is
one. Assistant principal, 12 by 12 feet, 144?
They all have offices.
But it's not 12 by 12?
I'm not sure. It could be.
144 square feet?
It could be.
All right. Is there a Xerox room?
Yes.
Is there an office supply room?
Yes.
Is there a computer operator room?
Yes.
How big is it?
I'm not sure.
Is it 200 square feet?
It could be.
One of the complaints has been that a lot of the rooms are really small. And
mm-hmm.
while you may designate them as rooms, they're simply not sufficient or adequate. Are you aware of that?
I've just been hearing this recently.
Okay. And are you aware that Mr. Ken Chargoff testified that he has a laundry list of 100 items that are still outstanding as of yesterday?
I'm not aware of that at all.
Okay.
He's not transmitted that to us.
He testified that he transmitted it to you and to the people at superintendent's office. You're not aware of any of those 100 list items?
No.
And numerous of them have to do with safety issues?
No, not at all.
Who else would he have contacted with other than you? Well, let me strike that. Are you the point of contact for CORTEC, for the school?
No. I'm not the only point of contact. But the singular point of contact it depends on the issue, but I guess I should say yes, I am, and there are other personnel in CORTEC that are assigned and are available and communicate directly with the school administration.
Okay, so it's appropriate for him to contact you?
Yes.
And you just simply have no awareness that he sits there today of that?
Yes, I keep 100. All of the things he sends me.
All right. And do you know why he would come in here and say that these aren't being addressed? Why, if they had been?
I could only speculate.
Okay. Are there restrooms for faculty, dedicated just to faculty?
Yes.
How many?
I'm not sure, but I know that that area is inadequate.
Okay. And are there student restrooms adequate for 2,300 students, which is what?
Yes.
How many restrooms do you have?
I don't recall the exact number, but I know that there's a chart that public health uses to determine whether or not we meet those requirements, and they already did.
Okay, are you aware that Mr. Chargoff testified that there was insufficient toilets?
I'm not aware that he testified that, but I would tell him to look at the permit.
I understand that some of the toilets were unisex.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to see that like in New York restaurants, and so I find it unusual to find that in schools.
For faculty restrooms?
And that's because
in fact, one of the change orders was to open up new restrooms for faculty.
Right. And because of space considerations, that's
right.
Why it's unisex, correct? Otherwise, you would have a male and female.
Right.
Okay. And what was contemplated in the JFK New School was a male and female, not a unisex bathroom.
So what was contemplated was based the standards of the building code and the sanitation requirements.
Which would not be, the UBC would not require, would not allow you to have unisex. It would
right. And there's a number for more for the females than for the males.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you were trying to squeeze by using the unisex bathrooms to meet the minimum requirements by designating them as unisex, correct?
I think the school administration designated them as unisex, and that's so that they would be more convenient for the teachers in the vicinity.
So if I were a woman walking in there, I would see a urinal right next to my toilet. Right?
I don't think there are urinals in the faculty bathrooms. Yeah. I don't believe so.
All right. So I use the same toilets as the male teachers then. Okay. Are there student lockers?
There are no student lockers.
And it says, I think it calls for a third full locker sizes on page 82. Third full size locker located in classroom 30 per room. No such lockers exist.
After the term changed, we I opted not to.
I understand, but I'm just trying to...
There's no locker room.
When you say cookie cutter, are we really talking about cookie cutter here? And that's what I'm trying to
okay.
Visit. All right. Is there a, I'm on page 83, is there an auto and construction trade building to accommodate, you know, I guess the type of stuff you see?
Yes, there are two buildings.
Okay, and that's in the existing location?
Yes.
How big is it?
I'm not sure.
Does it have a two-car bay?
Yes.
Is there enough classroom space for 25 students?
Yes.
Now, the specs also call for, and on page 684, hallways. Why are hallways to accommodate and prevent students from getting wet during rainy days? That seems to be a concern that's raised by almost every, you know, teacher, every DOE person that's been here today. And do you agree that that's an existing, a pervasive problem in the interim site?
As it relates to going to the cafeteria, yes.
Okay. There are a lot of until I got involved in this, I didn't really look at design of schools, but now that I pass the school, I always look at it, and I've seen that schools have huge hallways, walkways right in front of the doors, the classrooms. I mean, they're just not 5 feet like you would normally find in an office building or 6 feet, but they're only anywhere between 10 to 15 feet, sometimes 20. And is that the case in Cortex, the interim building?
I'm not sure what the approximate footage is of how wide the hallways are, but I would say they're more than 8, definitely.
But they're not 15 or 20 feet. Do they have any space for lockers in there?
Not all of them.
All right. And other than the hallways, there's really no open space that's covered for the children to kind of hang out when it's pouring rain. That's another pervasive problem with that site.
Right.
And certainly, you know, it's just not just for a couple of people, but it just doesn't exist because the existing construction has very little roofing overhang, correct?
Yeah, right. That's true.
So would Cortex be okay with it if the government terminated next year?
I think that the government has the right to do that.
Okay, but with Cortex, as a representative of Cortex sitting here today, would it be fine? I mean, if government terminated, and whether they go to GW as an alternate site for detention?
Yeah, that's their prerogative.
All right. Does it have any plans to do anything with the site? The interim site. If the government were to do that?
Yes.
And what would that be?
A workforce housing.
For whom?
For workers needed for the build-up.
Okay. Has any contract been signed?
We don't have contracts signed, but the asset is listed in our workforce housing plan, which is a mandate of NAFAC procurement.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Cunliffe, any redirect?
Thank you. The original RFP was for a 10-year term?
It was an invitation for bid. It was for a 10-year term with an option to purchase.
Okay. And you indicated, I believe, that it was your understanding that the government intended to use it not only for JFK students, but in subsequently for students from other schools.
Right. Those were statements made by the governor and various members of the Education Policy Board.
So that they could either demolish or renovate existing schools and build new ones?
Well, the two examples were either A, they would be using the facility to migrate Unpalat Middle School over, because they were the school that was most deteriorated, or B, they were going to open a central high school because they need an additional high school and two additional middle schools.
And now any extension or continuation of the contract requires, I believe, a legislative funding mandate?
There is a, there's only an appropriation for 1 year. And both the government and CoreTech have the option to give written notice 120 days prior to the termination of the lease after the first full term, first year.
There was some testimony earlier about classroom sizes, and I believe that, there was some testimony previously that there were some art classrooms that they subdivided or something.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that?
There are two art classrooms on the second floors of the C&D building, which were divided into to make additional classrooms. Yes.
Was that a change order?
Yes.
And do you know if those are smaller than required by initially required because they're cut in half?
I would say so. Although the building code says that it should be 20 square feet per student. So as long as it's 28 students, then at least if you're at 600 square feet, then you're meeting the code. Our classrooms are 750 square feet.
I have nothing further.
Any recross, Mr. Abrams?
No, thank you, Rob.
Any recross, Ms. Tang?
No, thank you.
Any questions?
Good morning, Mr. Tenorio.
Good morning.
In your lease agreement, there's a section, in addition to the $3.4 million for the lease rent, there's a section in here for entitled maintenance, and it's for $681,556.16. What is that to include?
The maintenance includes grounds maintenance and maintenance of restrooms, hallways, administrative offices. It does not include classrooms inside the classrooms.
So it's more janitorial type of maintenance
and ordinary maintenance
and landscaping but mowing the lawn.
Yes.
Okay. So it does not include, let's say, fixing the air conditioning?
Yes, it does.
Oh, it does include?
Yes.
Okay. What about, leaks in the building or electrical problems?
Yes.
So things in the, in the ordinary course of a school, what about urinals that overflow or toilets that overflow, things of that nature?
Yes.
Because that's a very common problem in most schools.
Yes.
Okay. So all of those things are the responsibility of
CoreTech. Yes.
So the present GFK location would not need to have its own janitors?
For the classrooms, they probably would. And if you allow me to, the rationale behind the scope of work for the maintenance agreement is based on the scope of work that had been agreed to between Guam Education Finance Foundation and DOE and GPSS for the construction of the four new schools.
Okay,
so that was the scope that the maintenance agreement was based on.
And when you say Guam Education Finance, that's the one that did the Okadu and
the yes.
And so the concept is similar to that. Maybe if you could explain that.
The concept is that that all common areas, hall rooms, and restrooms and grounds are would be the maintenance would be part of the developer. In that case, it's Guam Education Finance Foundation, cleaning and responsibility for the classrooms were the responsibilities of the school or the teacher. And that's in terms of the facilities, electrical, air conditioning, light bulbs, toilet paper, and cleaning the bathrooms, those are all part of the maintenance scope of work.
maintenance of the Education Foundation company. So, so they would clean the restrooms, so if there's any problems with electrical, plumbing, et cetera, all of those so-called common areas would be part. But the interior cleaning of classrooms in general would be the responsibility of DOE.
Right. Okay. That has to do with the liability for personal belongings of the teachers that are located in the classrooms.
And then also you mentioned the different schools, the outside, like, and I'm aware, for example, that many mayors are given the responsibility of taking care of the mowing, like at Daniel Heights.
Right. If it's appropriate, then they're supposed to take it, I believe.
But for the new schools that were built by that foundation, they are responsible for the ground maintenance.
I believe definitely on our, before, I'm not sure I want to say yes.
But CoreTech is responsible for ground maintenance.
Yes.
Okay. All right. In the negotiation, because of what was to be at the interim facility, who was the JFK representative or DOE representative?
It was Steve Bertascio, who is the former assistant principal of JFK.
Okay. And when you were negotiating, who was the primary spokesperson for the government?
For the government, well, during bid conference, and it was... From DPW, it was Deputy Director Andy Leon Guerrero, and from DOE/JFK, it was Mr. Portacho. Negotiating the contract, it was Mr. Haddock from the Governor's Office, and for a portion of that, Mr. Nishihara from DOE.
Okay. To your knowledge, when the final agreement was made, did JFK or DOE express any concerns or reservations that were not outlined yet, or some pending issues?
No, not at that time. We thought that we had addressed everything they had brought forward. They had a list of 25 items during the conference that we agreed to and accommodated, and then we had a period of time in which we gave the list of collateral equipment that Mr. Portacho approved to GSA in May and gave it to Mr. Chargaloff and his staff to review, and we told them that, you know, if they needed to make any more changes, they should inform GSA so that we'd be informed as well.
So if you mentioned there were about 25 items left to do, but what we heard yesterday from Mr. Chargaloff was, you know, school was supposed to open on or about August 10th or 11th, something like that, but then it was delayed because there was still a big laundry list of items.
Well, there was some construction going on because after we already signed the contract and after the administration assigned the classrooms to teachers, that's when they decided or discovered they needed additional classrooms. And so for a long period of time, JFK made a request to DOE. DOE and the governor's office had some written communication, but we never got the permission or the green light or the approval to go and do the work until in the first few days of August, shortly before school was to open.
You were waiting for the green light from who?
From the governor's office, who is who we have the contract with, to represent the government of Guam.
So although DOE or the JFK representative expressed some concerns, you were waiting for the governor's office to give you the go-ahead to...
Right, the concerns were documented. We always had minutes in the meetings, and what I would do is I'd transmit the minutes to Mr. Nishihara and Mr. Haddock, and I would ask them for their direction. Those items that were within our purview, certainly we always took care of, but the major items which were to do additional construction to create classrooms that were not part of the specs, those were some of the items that we were waiting for, well, we needed to get the agreement of the government to pursue.
Were there any change orders during the construction that resulted in, were there any change orders?
There were change orders, yes. There are two change orders that remain pending. The first one has to do with the walkway to be installed, and the second one has to do with enclosing these locker spaces that have been designed for to comply with the original specs, which were to have lockers. And when the term changed after the legislature met, and lockers no longer were going to be part of the room, and they wanted to enclose the those areas.
The alcoves?
Yes. There are 13 of them.
There was concern raised, you know, that students could hide in those areas. So that change order is still pending?
Yes.
And CORTEC will go forward with that?
Once you get an approval from the governor's office, but there is a breakdown of communication between the governor's office and DOE.
Okay. What would that change order cost? What's that estimated to cost? Do you know approximately?
I can't recall the exact figure. I think it's around $25,000, $26,000, maybe.
Okay. So the laundry list that Mr. Chargaloff said, and I heard Ms. Tang say that, you know, he has a list of about 100 different items. So you're not aware of those. So those types of things may.
Well, some of them, you know, prior to opening school, there was a news report, and the assistant principal said that 30 classrooms were still under construction. And so when I went to go and see the list and to do the visual inspection, some of these items were furniture not in the classroom. And, you know, when we had somebody from DOE made the maintenance inquiries, they were telling us not to install any more equipment because teachers wanted less the number of desks and they were flowing into the hallway, so we suspended. And when we suspended, then the JFK administration said that we weren't completing the job. So we were listening, I guess, to the right people. And then some of these items had to do with, they said there were exposed electrical outlets. And when we went to go look at them, there were actually the pull strings for the conduits where the internet cables should have run through. So if the 100 items is similar to the 30 that I'd previously seen, then I would say that I don't believe it, and we'll have to take a look. Some of them are their responsibilities, like internet. It was their responsibility in the end, not CORTEC.
But the pending change order has not been approved, the funding to do these types of things, like the securing of the alcove and things of that nature.
Right.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We also heard testimony that the area does not have an elevator and that it may not be ADA compliant. Are you aware of that?
I know we are ADA compliant based on the distribution of classes through the school. I believe there's a section in the regulation or the law that was cited when they made the certifications that they were ADA compliant, and Public Works went in and inspected and found them to be ADA compliant.
So you have some kind of acknowledgement from DPW?
Yes, it's part of the permit process.
That you are ADA compliant?
Yes.
And is ADA compliant, because we did also hear testimony that there's no elevator for students who need that type of a service to get up to the second floor. Was there a requirement in the bid to have an elevator?
No. There were none. There was not a requirement for that.
We also heard testimony from several DOE officials that given the present condition of the interim facility, that if they had to make a recommendation, they would prefer to go back to double session at GW. Are you aware of that statement?
No, this is, other than hearing about it yesterday from some media folks, that's never been suggested to us or told. told to us by any official from JFK or DOE.
I don't think it's been made official, but they've just expressed their personal opinion as to the present condition of the interim facility right now. You had also testified that during when the government asked for the RFP to be for a 10-year lease, what happened to, I guess this must have been in the negotiation where it said only the 1-year lease. Could you give some history as to what happened there?
We went through, there were several times prior to the signing of the contract, there were several times the legislature met in session to consider either the reconstruction of JFK or acquiring an interim campus for JFK and what those conditions would be. And so basically there had been, there was a, the appropriation of the statute was for only a 1-year term, and during that time the director of the superintendent of education said to the legislature and committee of the whole that she only needed a year for them to be in the interim campus and that she didn't need the, she wouldn't need the facility after that.
Well, then you mentioned earlier, though, in the negotiations that that JFK was not going to be the only school to
right.
As an interim campus. You mentioned Antelon and possibly a Central High School.
Right.
So was the legislature made aware of that?
Yes, and that was part of the... that was part of the discussions. You know, there is authorization in the public law to have tax credits for shortfalls in appropriations, which were debated, and I believe that discussion was in the debate. One of the, in the meeting at the governor's office after a first attempt was made to acquire the campus, that led to the governor or the acting governor, I can't recall, vetoing that particular piece of legislation. But at that meeting, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, the education policy board, the superintendent were all there with us, and you know, one of the things that one of the discussion points for whether or not they needed the facility and for how long it was, and the board chair told us that although the education master plan shows that they should have these additional schools, at least the additional schools, that they were going out to bid to do a comprehensive engineering analysis of to determine the status of all the schools, and after that report, you know, then they would see whether or not they were going to want to use the facility. But they felt that that time period would be concurrent to the this 1 year that JFK would be at the school, and then at that point they engaged in discussions with the governor. I do want to say that when the policy board passed the resolution asking for the interim campus, the condition was that that the education budget not be burdened with the cost for the additional campus because they couldn't accommodate it. And so my observation is that that has in some way caused some of the communications breakdown, because nobody really wants to take responsibility for any additional costs, if any, if they're going to be for this interim arrangement.
You mentioned tax credits. In your lease agreement, it's on page 4 of the lease agreement there. It says, all the terms and conditions of such tax credit law must be to the full satisfaction of the landlord by June 25, 2009. Did the legislature pass the law for the tax credit?
It was included in the appropriations measure.
So that would be public law 30. Public Law 3037, you said? That's the one that appropriated the money for the
yes.
First year. So was there also something in there? Because I don't recall reading it on the tax credit.
I believe so.
Okay. All right. Section 3 of that public law says, in lieu of any tax payment from the government of Guam to the lessor for lease expenses, the government is authorized to issue tax credits. Is that the
question? Yes.
So how is it, what is your understanding of how this, these tax, in the event the government of Guam is not able to pay you this rent?
Well, I want to state that the reason why that was a requirement in the contract was because of the government's history of non-payment, that having the, that provision was acceptable to our bonding company. And as you may know, bonding is very important in construction, especially with the federal government. My understanding of during the committee of the whole testimony on this issue, prior, actually, it was at this session where the Attorney General came out with an opinion that the tax credits were limited or had to be limited only to GRT and could not be for income taxes.
That's right, GRT.
Right.
Uh-huh.
My understanding is that, or I know that the tax credit authorization is there to ensure that if the in the event that the government has a failure to pay, that there is a mechanism that would compensate Cortec for the expenses incurred during that period of time.
Okay. Under the terms of the lease agreement, you were supposed to have been paid the full amount of the first year's rent on or about, I believe, August?
I think for the for August and September, it's based on fiscal year, so for August and September, it will be no later than August 5th, and then for the next fiscal year, it will be at the beginning of the fiscal year, no later than October 5th.
You were to receive the entire amount?
Yes.
Okay. So have you received the full $4,449,000?
No. We've received payment for August and September of this fiscal year.
Prorated?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've received partial, although the lease agreement says you were supposed to receive the entire amount.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you've received a portion, a proration.
Right.
Okay. So just kind of going back to just close the issue on the check punch list, so to speak, it's your understanding that before you are to do anything further, that punch list has to be approved by the governor's office?
It depends on what the item is. Daily, since school started, we've been working on a system that is consistent with the DOE system of work requests.
Okay.
So if there's issues ranging from anywhere that should be our responsibility from maintenance to a structural problem, the office personnel will fill out a form, send it straight into our office, and then our office will assign whoever it is to go and take care of it. And we're still actually refining our communications, making sure that everything, making sure that we're being as responsive as we can to the
so-called maintenance issues.
Yes.
Okay, but the other things that may or may not be considered maintenance requires a change order and would require additional funding
or approval. The biggest issue that Mr. Chartilop's been asking me about has been relocating these office containers.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah.
Okay. That's actually been his number one, and it seems that we get the. We're basically asked for a liability waiver, and the council doesn't want to give it to us and told us not to move it yet, but it doesn't seem that he's telling the principal about this, and so the principal is upset because, we agreed to do it, but we haven't done it yet. So it's kind of like a going in a circle here.
Okay. But the so-called items related to your understanding of maintenance, does the principal know what is that responsibility? So
He delegates a lot of it to his subordinates, the ASO. Melissa Mendo is our main point of contact for all these matters.
But maybe the larger items, that still requires
Right. Usually we will get the, somehow we always will get something in writing.
Okay.
Either Ms. Menno will take minutes of the issues and have a status of each of those and continue to keep it on a punch list. That's what our working experience was prior to school opening. Or she's sending in work requests and, you know, they're being dealt with as they come in. But big items, she also basically documents all of them. She's the administrative services officer for JFK.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All I have. Thank you.
Mr. Cutoff, any redirect?
No.
Mr. Abrams, any recross?
No, thank you.
Ms. Tang, any recross?
No, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Tenorio, thank you for testifying today. You're going to be excused as a witness, of course, subject to recall.
Okay.
Although I believe we're going to end these proceedings rather quickly or soon, please don't discuss your testimony with any of the other witnesses or any of the parties until these proceedings have concluded. All right, thank you. You're excused.
Thank you.
Please leave the exhibit, sir. Okay, well, Mr. Cummins, do you have any other witnesses?
Yeah, no more witnesses.
The arrest?
Yes.
All right, so we've concluded the appellant's presentation of evidence. So I guess the question is, do we proceed with closing statements, or do you want to break for lunch and then proceed with closing statements?
Well, for lunch and then the closing. I would agree.
Okay, so do you want to begin at 1 o'clock this afternoon?
Maybe 1:30?
At 1:30 is fine. 1:30, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, so then we will proceed with closing statements at 1:30 this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay,
thank you.
We're off the record at 11:56.
You can do everything here.